Hi friend, welcome to another weird episode of Dave Talk.
I know, I couldn't have or I shouldn't have said weird, but I don't know how it gets here. So if this is your first time of listening to this voice, welcome home. You can grab yourself a pillow and join us on our couch and rest with us. You would find rest here. And if you are returning, your pillow is here. If you're a pod stay, I think those people who listened to the previous episode will understand what I'm trying to say. For my pod stays, your pillow, you know where you kept your pillow now. So carry your pillow and come and join us here. You kept it somewhere around the room. So Welcome home. How has your heart been? I know. Mister, how is your heart has come again, right? Yeah, I would never stop asking you how your heart is. I think people are getting to know me by this, and I would never stop again. So for my MVPs, those of you who are using Spotify, clap for yourself. You're not clapping for yourself. Drop your phone and clap for yourself. Okay, you stay clapping for yourself now. You can do so to go to that writing comment section box and inform this Mr. How is your heart? How your heart is doing, really. So, do it now. As you're finished clapping for yourself, if your phone is far away from you, if maybe you are sleeping or listening to this episode in the night, just use this second of me stalling. I slowed my voice down for a reason. So carry your phone and tell me how your heart is doing. Yeah, I want to really know. So thank you. And also for those who take out time to do it, I love you. Really, I love you. I love seeing how your heart is and how you privilege me with the opportunity to know what is upon your heart. Yeah. So, grab yourself a cup of water. We don't do carbonated drinks here. And because I said that, I have to ask myself. So last week, after fellowship, I was offered a carbonated drink and I did not refuse it. I am saying this because my friend outed me. My friend that listens to this episode, my episodes, and have been on many of my episodes. He caught me drinking it and he asked me what I asked you guys. Or he said to me what I say to you guys here, which is, we don't do carbonated drinks here. And I felt so attacked. So he understands what I'm trying to say if he's listening to this episode. So yeah, I drank a bottle of Sprite. I think a bottle and a half of Sprite. I don't know. Please don't judge me. I see you guys, Gary. You guys are trying to stone me. Like, it's the woman caught in adultery kind of scenario here. I can see your eyes. It's giving Pharisees, staring at me, giving me that stern look, ostentatious look. Like, ew. Anywho, that's by the way. You can rest here. Today's episode is going to be somewhat different. I know. I think so. I don't know. I don't have anything planned out. Is it weird that I am dressed up for this episode? Did I say this? I don't think I did. So I'm recounting it again. I am putting on a hat. And it feels professional. I don't think it's professional because, and this is not a YouTube video. For those of you people who are going to be thinking it is not. I just want to have that feel of dressing up for episodes so I feel professional, but it is not professional again, as I've recounted. Why am I speaking so much today? I feel like I am doing introduction very long. My introduction is very long. It has gotten to 4 minutes now. Yeah. So, I dressed up for this episode. That's just the crux of the conversation. She, I think this is where it should end. So yesterday, or rather last week, I think I mentioned here, one of my previous episodes, that I have a garden, yeah, at the east side of my compound. Isn't that prophetic? So yeah, over here in Nigeria, as the Bible tells us, as long as this earth would remain, there are times and seasons. And in the season in Nigeria here, it is dry. It is getting wet, though. We are seeing the cloud is telling us tales of rain, but we are yet to feel. We are yet to see the fruition. Was that poetic? Anywho, that's by the way. So we had to take down, or rather, I had to take down a very large tree, a very large purple tree that is in my garden. And for context sake, I have a lemon tree, I have a moringa tree, I have a purple tree, I have two purple trees, I have a banana tree, I have a pear tree. Did I plant all this? I don't know. Nature brought it forth. But anywho, that by the way. Would I give credit to those who take care of my farm to me? I don't think so. I would do something, yeah. So, there's this particular purple tree that grew so outrageously. What do I mean by that? It had grown so much that it grew out of the wall of the garden. That's the wall that separates the garden from the other house. And it had not bore fruit. And this tree was the biggest tree in the garden. It was bigger than other trees. It was even higher and bigger than the other purple tree. But it had not bore fruit. It had been long since it bore fruit. So we got concerned because the other purple tree had a Holy Spirit help me. I want you to understand what I'm trying to say. I'm not just saying this story for saying it's sake. It's because there is a lesson assigned to it. And I pray that as you are listening to me, the eyes of your understanding be opened in the name of Jesus, that you get this light and it shines and it stays. These words sink deep into your heart and it illuminates the eyes of your understanding also. In Jesus' name, amen. So, it had grown so outrageously, it was very big. And the thing is that it grew so much big that it had started compressing this mango tree at its side. So when I came out, the Holy Spirit went into teaching mode. And he helped me see this in a spiritual way, in a biblical way, because all things are for Jesus. And everything, all scripture rather, are for exaltation, rebuke, and revoke. So he helped me see through a biblical lens that our Father is a vine dresser. And I had to cut the purple tree down. Why? Because it had, as I have said, it had overshadowed this mango tree and it was pressing this mango tree. But it never bore fruit. It was big. It would have been used, or it could have been used for shelter. But it was hindering the growth of another particular tree. That is the mango tree now. And when I cut the tree down, that is the purple tree now. It had so much water in it that it was just being poured out. I don't know whether you ever cut down any tree before. I'm not saying this in pride, but if I felt like a village hunter. Is that something somebody should brag about? I don't know. That's by the way. But it has a hole in it. A very big, very large hole in it. So the water was contained. The water contained inside this tree was a lot. And it was just pouring. But it never bore any fruit. That's what really shocked me. And I got to learn that. Am I meant to be laughing? I don't know whether I'm the only person that heard that. I am not going to cancel this episode. I am so going to put it out there like this. And so, don't worry, I am safe. I am safe. No matter what is going on, I am safe. So, yeah, I got to learn that it is in the dry seasons that fruits that are made on trees grow to their sweetest. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So that means their roots search for water despite despite the situation or the season is. That is how God had made every or has made every plant. That despite how there is no water, the root is capable of reaching deep into the soil to get water. Let me help you paint this picture. Let me put times and seasons in this context. Rainy season comes and all my plants on my garden get equal water supply and nutritional facts and nutritional characteristics, if that makes sense. And they grow, they blossom. In this case, let me apply it to your life. The rainy seasons are those times where you would get the gospel. Constantly, you're being fed the gospel. Your heart is being nourished by the gospel. You're reading the word. You're staying in the word. You're breaking bread with your friends. You are feeling nourished. Every single time you look at the cloud and you are reminded, the rain is God's gospel and God's word here. So you can look up and you know that God's goodness is about to fall upon you. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. If you don't, please tell me. I don't know how that is going to be possible, but I know we are going to flow together here. Hang on. You look at everywhere, the leaves are green, then everybody is nourished then. But there would come a season where there would be no rain again. Not because God is not available here. Now, listen to me carefully. God is very much available. God is all and in all. But if it comes to that point, it is because God has supplied you His grace, which is sufficient in all things. That even though it looks like rain is not going to fall, He has gifted you the capacity for your roots. Your roots in this case is your heart, to search deep for Him and get to the water that He has provided in the soul so you would be nourished. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? So maybe in the dry season, quote and unquote, you don't feel like praying so much. You don't feel like reading the word so much. You don't feel like you don't feel like doing anything spiritually. You just feel like everything is just dry. But it is at that point you should press in more. Because I think we are more comfortable in doing things when they are at our own convenience. Really, our generation hates leadership. We hate being told what to do. That is what is really wrong with our hearts and where the positioning of our hearts. We don't like when we are told what to do. So when we come into the believing life now, God demands that you surrender. And surrendering is that you have to follow a mandate and a leader. And that is God. But we don't like it. So when we get to that point, it is that we press into Him more. Because it is the fruits that sprout or spring forth in dry season that are the sweetest. In rainy season, the fruits are not that sweet because the water is available for everybody. It's available for all the fruits on my garden. I taste the purple sometimes, it is bland, and I'm like, okay, thank God, but I take it. Anywho, that's by the way, just for my own beneficial and my body beneficial. What's the word I have forgotten? But they get all these things in grids, in level. I don't even need to go and check them. The nature is taking care of them. But when it comes to the dry season now, there seems to be no water enough. But again, let me say this. It is not because there is no water. It is because at that point, the plant has to dig its root deep into the soil to find the source of the water. I don't know why I'm repeating this, but I feel like this should sink into you. So if you are in that season where you feel dry, dig deeper. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. That is His word concerning you. He did not say stay in the... That is why I like the book of Ezekiel chapter 23. I don't think it should be chapter 23. I think it should be 30 something. I would put the scripture in the description box if I remember. Where the angel was measuring, and it was him going into depths and into depths. The first was onto his leg, the second was onto his knee, and he kept on getting deeper into this water until he was overwhelmed by this water now. until there was no him. There was no him in the picture again. It was just the water that he was beholding. And the water keeps things safe. So if you feel like you're in a season where you don't feel like doing everything I had mentioned before, dig deeper. Dig deeper. God's grace is sufficient. And this is not Christianese I am speaking here. This is not just another regular Christian telling you that the grace of God is sufficient in every single thing. The word of God is not something we should take for granted, because I feel like we have been taking the word of God for granted for this for past centuries, because we don't read. We don't know what the Bible has or has said concerning us. That is why it is easy for our hearts to fall into deceit. It is easy for us to believe the lies of the devil, because one thing is that we don't know what God's word says pertaining us. We don't believe in our hearts that God is able to suffice or to provide for us according to his riches in glory. That is why you steal. That is why you believe that you have to get your relief from masturbation. That is why you believe that you have to tell a lie to save yourself or save a fish to people. You have to live up to an expectation that God has not set for you. That is why you do all these things. All forms of sin, or every sin that you would fall into, is as a result of your unbelief. Because you don't believe Jesus is worthy. You don't believe Jesus is worthy. That is why you do all these things. Because if you really see his face, I'm reminded of Paul, of Paul's story on his way to Damascus to slay the Christians. Then Jesus, at the appointed time, God revealed Jesus to Saul. Paul, yeah. I don't think he changed his name, but yeah, I don't know. That's another argument that's up. But yeah, he revealed his son. And what does he say? That is Paul now. He does not say, who are you? His response, yeah, he said, who are you? But he reverenced the lordship of Jesus. He knew that this person had to be somebody supreme. With this amount of glory that would make him go blind, you have to testify of the lordship of Jesus. So what does he say? Who are you, Lord? He knew that this Jesus was real because he had come face to face with this Jesus. Jesus had been revealed to the eyes of his understanding, to the eyes of his heart also, before the eyes of his physical eyes was made whole by Ananias. But that's by the way. You see how he saw Jesus and immediately his eyes, his life changed. Maybe you're saying you have never seen Jesus. Maybe you're like, but may I've never seen Jesus. Now, Jesus has not appeared to you yet. You have not had visitations of angels as people have and speak about and boast about these days. You've not heard God speak to you sternly or vehemently. Well, you've heard the gospel. You've read the word of God. Literally, you're reading Jesus. That is me putting it into context so you will understand it. So in other words, your heart has seen Jesus already. I mean, Colossians tells us that he's all and in all. So the fact that you can behold the Son is because his grace has appeared, or Jesus is the grace that has appeared to all men and is teaching them to forsake ungodliness. It is because of him. It is because of him. So, stay. The times we are in are very dark. We don't need CNN to come and tell us another lie, because if they come to tell us about the state of the world, I don't know how, this is a very random tangent, I don't know how we believe CNN or we believe the world to bring for us kingdom news. Have you noticed how we are more conscious about, or we are more open to worldly informations or worldly sources coming to tell us about how the kingdom is doing? So you would hear Christians, tongue-speaking, fasting Christians, coming to believe what the world is saying about the kingdom of God. And again, it's because we don't read the Bible. But as I said, this is just a random tangent. We don't need CNN or BBC or NTA to tell us that the world is dark. You just need to look around your environment, or
not around your environment. Look at yourself. Look at what your heart is spending time in. Look at the things you give yourself into. Are they outside God? Are they ungodly? Then you would know that the state, you don't need anybody to come and preach to you the darkness or the times that we are in now. Because let's take, for instance, what is happening in this generation. The devil is blinding the eyes of people, really. The Bible has to be true. You know that part where it talks about that the God of this world has blinded their eyes so that they would not see and repent and turn from their evil ways, and God would heal them. He does not want them to see. So he is blinding the eyes of people. Really, the veil is really covering. That is why people don't... Will we speak onto the lens of gender? That people don't even know how to differentiate what or who is a man and who is a woman. Now, that is one of the most toughest questions to be offered to people. And I think Westerners would relate to this more because you guys are there. Yeah. So, things are getting darker. The hearts of man, or the heart of man, is desperately wicked. It is desperately wicked. This is not the time to slack back. Dear believing person, dear person who is yet to come into the faith, dear person who feels cold, who feels like you are in a stage or in a season where it feels cold, this is a reminder, and this is the word of God concerning you. He that has called you, be confident that he that has called you and has started a good work, not just a work, a good work in you, is able and more than capable to keep it, to nourish it, and to keep you from stumbling unto the day of his holy son Jesus. So the work that God has started in you, he would not let it come to an end unto the devil. He would not let the devil glory in his work. No, let God have his way. Let God have his way in your lifestyle. Let God have his way in your social life. Let God have his way in your financial life. Just let God. I urge you, I beseech you in Paul's words in the book of Romans 1. I beseech you, dear brethren, let God. It's tiresome. How sometimes we cook up stories. We know how to silence the voice. We know how to stifle the Holy Spirit. We just know how to grieve him. And I think that is what the devil delights in doing. Because if only he makes you grieve the person of the Holy Spirit, he would make your lifestyle contradict God's word so much that you grieve the Holy Spirit. And when you continually keep on grieving the Holy Spirit, he is as a dove. He will take his flight for a short while. That does not mean he has left you. But he would only do his workings in someone who is yielded to God. That's why the Bible tells you in the book of James, submit to God. Then you can resist the devil and he would flee. Not that you would stand before God. Not that when you gave your life to Christ, automatically it means that you were surrendered fully. It was that you were welcomed into the life of constant surrendering of your will, your mindset, your financial life, your freedom, if you had any to even begin with. That is the believing life. Not that you went to an altar call. You were not saved because they did an altar call, then you went there and you gave your life to Christ. That was just the beginning of your salvation, dear one. It was not automatically. Because I think the problem of our modern evangelism is that we think because we went to the altar, we are saved automatically. It means that when you live there, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Lamb's Book of Life, did I say that well? I think I did. So you are just living, and after all that, everything you do is just because you are human, and humans are frail, and we have to sin at some point, and all of us are imperfect. We cannot be like Jesus. That is the excuse people pull up from their book. I don't know where they get this book from, but it is a demonic book where they say, we don't know how to do it. I am not. And my question amongst or amidst all this is that What does the Bible say concerning you?
I would not say it. I would read it. Because if I say it, I think people would take it as my words. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn your book or this word of God to the book of Galatians 2 verse 20. And it says, and I'm reading from the book of King James, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me just advance to 21. I don't read it often, but this is what 21 has to say. And I think you need to hear this, you who is listening right now. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. That is what the word of God has to say concerning you, is that you are meant to be Jesus. And the Bible later tells us in the book of Hebrews that we ought to be holy as God is holy. But this is the good news, because I know maybe your heart is tense and you're like, holiness is hard. How will I do this? How can't I wear that crazy jean out? Why can't I masturbate? Why can't I watch pornography? I know maybe I'm guessing. I don't know. That was very weird for me to say, but just hang on. Let me explain what I'm trying to say here. Holiness cannot be done. How you could not be righteous is how you cannot be holy without God. You have to have the Holy Spirit unto holiness. It is Him that makes you holy now. And this is just the interest. This is an interesting thing, is that you have to let the Holy Spirit help you. Isn't it wonderful and scary at the same time? That the Bible speaks on the Holy Spirit, and in the book of Ephesians 4 verse 30, says, we should not grieve the Holy Spirit, in which we were sealed unto the day of redemption. For. So, it tells you, that Bible verse tells you that He is the seal. You know how Nike has their seal, or Nike, or how... I am so sorry, I had to just do that joke there. You know how Nike has their seal upon their shoe, and it indicates that shoe is owned by Nike or an Apple products now. Or iPhone. I don't know. That was all by the way. Another random joke. Or how you can tell an iPhone aside an Android is because of the seal. That is the Holy Spirit over you now. And when you grieve Him so much, as I've said, the dove takes his flight. And it is not that He has left you, but you have stifled Him so much. And have you noticed how the Bible speaks, or Jesus was speaking and telling them that the only sin that cannot be forgiven is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. How Jesus loves the Holy Spirit so much, and even God loves His Holy Spirit so much. It's like a very beautiful relationship. Like, God can condole you blaspheming against Him. I'm not saying you should, and I'm not saying this is an excuse, but I'm just putting this for contextual sake. But the only thing He would not condole is when you blaspheme His Holy Spirit. Yes. Take heart, or take heed, you who stand, lest you fall. Hold on to the word of God. Hold on. See, I don't know what I have to say, but I have to just make this clear. Hold your ears. The word of God does not need your opinion. It does not need your translation. It does not need you to be true. It does not need your saying to be true. It does not need you to proclaim it to be true. It is truth. Why? Because God said it. And it has to be because God said it. So we should stop this mindset that until we give our own interpretation of scripture, it is not true. Until we, as if we were custodians, or we were the one that inspired this text. Stay in the word of God. I think if you stayed in the word of God very well, there are some things you would not really be doing, seriously. If you soaked in the word of God constantly, and
I should read this part. If you this part, I think it should be of First Timothy. I think it should be of essence to whomever is listening today, because I think most times it's because we don't know what the word of God has pertaining to us. That's why we really stumble. This is Paul's exhortation to Timothy. He's telling him to meditate upon. This is the first book of Timothy, chapter 4, from verse 15. I do not want to just read it like that. It says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to these things, that his profiting may appear to all people. Take heed unto thyself to all the doctrines, and continue in the doctrine, for in doing them you shall save yourself and them that hear you also. Are you hearing what Paul is exhorting Timothy to? What Paul is exhorting Timothy to do? These letters are very relevant now. Stay in the word of God. Stay in the word of God. Do you feel dry? Recounting to back to the story I was stating about the roots and how they have to dig deep. Stay. God is very much present. God is available. God is never away now. That is the gift that we have been given. That whomever comes to God, he would not wise cast out. Do you feel like you have drifted away so much? This is God calling you to his throne of grace to obtain mercy, for you to forsake and repent and confess your sin before him. And he is just and righteous to make you pure as his son, because his son has already become you. He took your identity on the cross, on Calvary. He took your pain, he took your shame. And this is not Christianity. This is not just what you watched in the movie. This is reality. Jesus died for you. He literally took your shame. Do you know what it cost God? If you did, you would not release you. What you are doing as an excuse for why you cannot be holy would not be done. Because if you knew what it cost God to buy you, he gave his only begotten son. So in other words, God gave his sons to band. It is all over. Let us take it back to the book of Genesis, when the angels came into the land of Sodom and Gomorrah and they met Lot. And the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, the men, they wanted to come and sleep with these angels. And what did Lot do? He was willing to give his daughters out. Are you seeing how the gospel is in every form of scripture? He was willing to give his daughters out that these men would have their way with them. Some people would have their ideas of that, but that is your business. He was willing to give his daughters out for these men's sake. But in the gospel, God did not withhold his son. He gave his son out and he brought you into his home, you who was a stranger, and he embraced you while other people were beating his son, spitting on his son, calling his son names, blaspheming up against his son, mocking his son. And God said it. And you know what is crazy about it? It pleased God, because your debt had to be paid, because God is justice and nobody can ever mock God. God could not. People have this idea that they think God could just, because if it was that easy, it could have been done since, or any human being would have done it. But it cost God his son to buy you for himself. I want you to think about that. That God loved you so much, he gave his only begotten son. That is why the work he starts in you, he has to finish it. Because he's doing it for his son, Jesus. It is for his son he's doing everything. Everything was created for his son. So he would keep you. He would keep your family from going hungry. Because why? His word says you would not go hungry. Financial crisis is happening to you. He would never leave you nor forsake you. And the presence of God is more valuable and more essential and of more preservation than 1,000 gifts offered to you. The presence of God is what keeps you. It's what sustains you to even desire to even want financial needs to be suited out or solved out for you. So God, this God that has kept our fathers
and has kept our mothers and has kept our forefathers and has kept the generations that are coming and the ones that have gone, the cloud of witnesses that are bearing witness with you and are cheering you forward, are rigging for you, would keep us. And you would, why am I saying this? Because he said so. And God's word is truth. He does not need me to agree with it. All he wants me to is to believe in this word he has spoken, which is truth. So God would keep you. God will keep you. Keep yourselves out of the lies of this world. Save yourself, save your soul, save your heart, and stay in the word of God. Soak yourself in the word of God. You don't have to watch 10 seasons of Netflix series. You don't have to. You don't have to watch Oppenheimer. You don't have to watch all those movies. You just need the word of God. Am I saying entertainment is wrong? Now, we should draw the line and know what is right entertainment or what is wrong entertainment here. Don't go watching horror movies saying that because I said entertainment is not wrong, you should go watching horror movies. Even in entertainment, well, we should know the type of movies you should watch. You should know what type of spirit these people are trying to project into you. Because we live in a hypersexual world. They are either trying to tell you how to behave, dictate something about your being. If you think that just movies you're watching is just for fun, then darling, you had everything mistaken. They want to control you. If nobody has told you, I am telling you here outrightly, those directors are doing things in their movies to color grading the soundtracks to captivate you in some way to change your mindset. This war, it is warfare. All these things are kingdoms clashing. If you are not being led by the Spirit of the Living God, if you are not under His tutelage, if you are not led by Him, they would catch you. I am smacking my hand for emphasis sake to tell you that you have to soak yourself in the word of God. Why you are having dreams where demons are chasing after you is because you are not yielded to God. Why you are having problems in your heart and in your household is because you have not offered it unto God. And God is just, as I've said, God is kind enough that constantly His grace is sufficient and it has appeared to all men and is teaching them. His grace is now speaking to you through my words, now telling you to forsake all ungodliness and do what? And cling unto God. His mercy seat is available for you. Run to it. Run to His mercy seat. Run to it, dear believing one. I'll stop here for today. Thank you for indulging my voice to this point. Thank you for staying here despite the words that have been uttered. I would not leave you alone, as I would always say. I am saying that because I would drop links in the description box if you want to know this gospel that sets free. I know you feel tired. For those of you who feel like you are dry, you feel tired. The gospel is sufficient enough that it keeps on delivering your mind. It's not a message that just saved you at some point. It's a message that keeps on delivering you. So go back to the gospel. Dwell in the gospel. Don't just read about or study the gospel. Spend time with the gospel. So I'll drop the link of the full gospel in the description box and the playlist of peaceful songs I created for your heart. I will drop it in the description box and do so to click it. And you can also do so to fellowship with us on, did I say on? I am so sorry for that. On the days we fellowship, which are on Saturdays, on Sundays, I don't know. You can do so to find your timings around there. Then, sounds so weird, I am seeing this. But the timings in Nigerian time is from 11 a.m. on Saturday. The link, you can save it. So on 11 a.m. you can join us on Saturdays. Then on Sundays, on 10 a.m. you can join us for our discipleship classes. Thank you for being here. And I will be leaving for now. Did I have to speak like this? I don't know. I don't really know what is happening here. But bye, saints. Bye, friend. Thank you for listening. If you want to do so to tell me about your heart, don't forget to, you can do so to tell me about your heart. Thank you.